It's a schuss to be back together. I want to start Peschlin B'chvoid Achsanya to thank Jennifer and her beautiful mishpacha, Bonnie and Heshi, for opening up their, can't say their bias, their backyard, but for Torah, for Hisaris, for Chizik. And Meretz Hashem, it should be a big schuss for only Simcha and Bracha for the entire family, Be'ez Hashem. Seemingly, it's going to be our final shiur in person for a while. Of the schuss to be going to Camp Dina, Be'ez Hashem, on Thursday. Maybe we'll have some shiurim online. We'll figure that out. But therefore, tonight we have to walk away with a lot of chizik. And the night that we have to carry with us throughout the entire summer. And the summer often is a time when we do need a lot of chizik in the Torah. The summer often doesn't have the same structure as the year, as the rest of the year. And often there are challenges that come up in a very real way. But I think there's a few ideas we can focus on to make the summer very, very meaningful. And I want to really continue something we spoke about at the end of last week's shiur, and really build off it in a very special way. But first, another idea, just to be mechazik us each. You know, this past week was the yahrzeit of Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Livracha. And the Rebbe taught us we have to live with the parasha. So seemingly, if this is the final parasha that we're going to be learning about together in person, there's a lot to walk away with. Before we get to what I really want to talk about, there's a Torah that I'm sure I've shared before. Many of you have maybe learned before. It's a very famous idea in this week's parasha, but I think we have to review it. We have to chazer it. Because it's the most important foundation of our lives. You know, I open up this week's parasha. It's actually two parashas, Chukas and Balak. The beginning of Parashas Chukas, talking about the Parah Aduma, the Torah tells us, Zos Chukas HaTorah. Zos Chukas HaTorah. This is the law of the Torah. And many Mefarshim, but famously the Arachayim HaKadosh asks, it seems to be saying, like, this is the most important law in the entire Torah. Zos Chukas HaTorah. It should have said, Zos Chukas Parah Aduma. This is the law of Parah Aduma. Zos Chukas Tuma V'Tara. This is the law of Tuma and Tara, how to become pure if you're Tamei. Zos Chukas HaTorah, as if this is the quintessential, most important law of the entire Torah, really? If I asked anybody here, what's the most important law, most important halacha in the entire Torah? I don't believe any of us would have ever suggested Parah Aduma. I don't think anybody would make their top 10 or top 20. But it seems to be saying, Zos Chukas HaTorah, this is the law of the Torah. What does that mean? So the Arachayim HaKadosh says so brilliantly and beautifully. We all know a choik is a specific type of law. A chok is a mitzvah without reason, without understanding. There are a lot of mitzvahs in the Torah, and there are mishpatim, there are those laws that we understand. We all understand, even though it might be sometimes difficult, how important kibud avim is, to respect our parents who brought us into the world, who gave us everything that we have. We all understand the importance of davening, of talking to Hashem, of thanking Hashem, of asking Hashem, building that relationship with Hashem. There are many halachos that we understand and maybe we do, even if it wasn't told to us in the Torah itself. But then there are those laws that make absolutely no sense. And we would never come to them on our own, and they're completely illogical. Shadnas. That we have to go and check if I'm going to buy a dress, maybe in the winter time, I don't know, in the summer, we don't wear wool too much, right? But in the winter time, I'm going to have to check if there's wool and linen, and bring it to someone to check and send it into a lab, or like, really, that makes any sense why that's important to the Ribbono Shel'olam? It's a mitzvah we don't understand. It's a choik. And Parah Aduma, is a tremendous chok, a tremendous law that we don't understand. Why is it that if somebody's tameh and came in contact with a dead body, which that itself, by the way, does make sense a little bit, why you're tameh. A dead body is a guf, a body without a soul, which is the antithesis of everything that's meaningful and purposeful in this world. If we stop and think about it, tumah actually makes sense. It's the opposite of everything we want to be. No neshama, no connection to Hashem. So you've lowered yourself a little bit. But in order to become tar, in order to become pure, you take a red cow and you burn it and you sprinkle the ashes, and the one who does the sprinkling becomes tameh through the process. None of it makes sense. That's a chayk. Zois chukas haTorah. Rav Chaim HaKadosh says that's the most important, in a certain sense, law of the Torah. Because that's what it means to truly have emunah. To truly believe. To truly trust in Hashem. To truly be one with Hashem means I'm following the Ribbono Shel'Olam through thick and thin, whether I understand or whether I don't understand. If I understand and it's meaningful, of course I'm going to follow Torah mitzvahs. It's when it's challenging, when I might not understand as much, where I don't, it's a little bit gray, where there, that's where my emunah kicks in. I say, the Ribbono Shel'Olam knows for better than I what's best for me. The Ribbono Shel'Olam knows how I should live my life, and even if it doesn't make sense to me, I'm going to follow Him. Because He created me and I owe my life to Him. Ultimate emunah. Zois chukas haTorah. And that alone, if all we came out tonight was to learn this Torah, I think was well worth. To walk away and enter into our summer with that devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what comes our way. Let's be real, it's easy to be tzanua in the winter. In the summer it might be challenging at times. It might not make sense at times even. It's uncomfortable. Zois chukas haTorah. The Eibishter knows what's best for me. And whatever comes my way, I'm going to go with that mindset. With that connection to Hashem. That's one yesod. There's another yesod we learn from this parasha that I think can give us tremendous chizuk in something we can work on this summer in a very special way. Because as we mentioned at the end of our shiur last week, and specifically this year, I think more than ever, the summer is a time when we're able generally to be a lot more social. Because of that lack of structure, because of the lacking of pressure, we have way more time with our friends, way more time with our family. And I think these days and these weeks and these couple months coming up, hopefully, will be in a certain sense more than ever. Because so many of us, for so long, we're alone. We're in solitude. We're with just our immediate family. We're finally coming out. We're finally together. So we're cherishing that time. And there's so much more time that we want to be with our friends and want to be with extended family. But that also lends its challenges. It's challenges to stay away from speaking Lashon Hara, to not speaking nicely about others, from judging others, from having proper conversation with others. And I think our parsha is preparing us for that as well. I want to share with you an incredible Torah. It's an incredible Torah that, I'm going to be honest, I don't know this 100%. I don't know if Hashi's still here. We'll have to ask him. The first part of this Torah, if I'm not mistaken, I heard for the first time and learned right here. Well, in your dining room, Jennifer. But if I'm not mistaken, it was this parasha about 5 or 6 years ago that Rav Talmud Chacham HaGadol, that your father's very close with, Rav Yaakov Friedman, was here for Shabbos and had Shal Shudas by you. And I was remembering this Torah and said, how can I not share this Torah tonight here? Now I reread it this week inside. He heard it from the Slonim Rebbe himself, the Nesiv Shalom, I'm sure some of us learn his Torah. And I found it inside this week. I want to share with you what he said, Mamish, because it's a life-altering type of idea. You open up in Parshas Chukas, besides for the Paraduma, we have the famous Chet of Mei Meriva. What is that? Something that's very difficult to understand. That we all know, we had the Bar Miriam, we had the well of Miriam, and Miriam passes away, Miriam is Nifteres, and we no longer have water. And Klal Yisrael complains and gets upset, why did we leave Mitzrayim? Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to the rock to bring forth water, and we all know instead of speaking to the rock, Moshe Rabbeinu hits the rock. Everybody knows this. And Moshe Rabbeinu is punished terribly. Moshe Rabbeinu, our greatest of leaders, the greatest of tzaddikim, is not allowed to ever enter Eretz Yisrael. We all have had the schus to be in Eretz Yisrael, to daven in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu never had that privilege because he hit the rock. And it's puzzling. It's difficult to understand. How could Moshe Rabbeinu have done such a chait? And more so, maybe more than that, why is he punished so severely? Okay, so he hit the rock. It's a rock, you know? It's not like he... It's a rock. It's an inanimate object. Should have spoken. There are a lot of tires in this, but what really went down? What was he really being punished for? Why was he not able to enter Eretz Yisrael? Because he hit the rock. So Yaakov Friedman said over, I heard it from him originally from the Nesiva Shalom. Follow, this is a tremendous idea. It's a tremendous idea in every relationship that we have. Definitely when we're trying to be makari of others and inspire others. Really in every relationship we have. You know, there's a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, and the Mishnah says, it's in the second parak, the sixth Mishnah, that if people came to Beis Din to be Mekadesh the Chodesh, they said they saw the new moon, so it should be Rosh Chodesh. So Beis Din would ask them all types of questions to see if they really saw the moon. Maybe it was some, you know, big light in the sky that they didn't realize. Who knows? And they'd ask a lot of questions, see if they were being honest, see if they really saw the moon. And one of the, if the people saw, if the witnesses said they saw the crescent of the moon facing the sun, right? The crescent of the moon was facing towards the sun. We know it's sheker. The moon can never be like that in such a way at the beginning. That couldn't be emesdik testimony. It's not Rosh Chodesh. And listen to the language of the Gemara on this. The Gemara says, what is it, just to say those words, that the crescent of the moon could never be facing the sun, can never be directly looking towards the sun. La'olam lo ra'asa chama pigimasa shalavana. The chama, the sun, can never see the pigimasa. Pigimasa here means the crescent of this moon. The sun can never see it, meaning it can never be looking at it, can never be facing it. But it uses a very strange language. It uses a strange language. Why is it called the crescent, pigimasa? I don't know what other word the crescent should be, but it could be the panim shel levana, the face of the levana, the front of the levana. Why the? What is pigimasa? What else? If I use that word without this context, what's a pigima? Something that's poigim. Generally, that's a word that's used to refer to a blemish. Something that's a blemish. Something that's messed up. A pegima. So the Gemara says the sun should never see the pegima of the levana. So Pasha Pshat is what we just described. It's the crescent. And that tells us that that can never be facing that way. Rosh Chodesh, okay. But let's understand this a little bit deeper. I want to share with you an incredible Torah from the Heilige Baal Shem Tov. The Nesiv Shalom quotes Baal Shem Tov. This is what Rabbi Yaakov Friedman said over that he heard from the Nesiv Shalom. And it's in the Sefer, the Nesiv Shalom, in this week's parasha. The Chama, the sun, is a mashpia, is an influencer. The sun is the source of light. The sun is the source of heat that has hashpa, that has influence on the world. And in its relationship specifically, let's talk about its relationship to the moon, to the moon. We all know the moon alone is dark. The moon alone has no energy and light inherently within it. Its light comes from absorbing that light from the sun. So the sun is the mashbia, is the influencer, and the moon is the makabel. The moon accepts the light. Again, the sun, let's follow, the sun is influencing, is the mashbia, is the giver, and the moon is the taker, is the makabel. The Baal Shem Tov tells us that this Gemara, by calling La'olam lo ra'asa chama, the sun should never see the pikimasa shalavana on a deeper level. You know what it's saying? It's teaching us the mashpia. If we're trying, if we ever want to influence someone else, you ever want to be makariv someone else, you ever want to lift up someone else, lo ra'asa pikimasa, you can't see the blemish within it, within him, within her. The sun can never see that blemish. A mashpia can never see the flaw in that who we're trying to be mashpia upon. What does that mean? Let's take just a classic example. You have a Rebbe who has a Talmud, who has a student. And that Rebbe is trying so deeply, so dearly to inspire and to be makarev and to give and to lift up that student. If that Rebbe, and he's the mashpia, looks at the student as bad, looks at the student as flawed, as pigimasa, he'll never have ashpa. He'll never influence that Talmud. On two levels. First of all, if he doesn't believe in his student, and he doesn't see all the beauty in the student, doesn't think of the student as really a tzaddik, so he's not going to give in the same way. He's not going to put in the energy. He's not going to put in the effort. Because I don't believe in you. You're a lost cause. Why would I exert my energy in you if you're pigimasa, you're flawed? So the Rebbe is not going to do a good job. And the student as well, every Talmud picks up on whether the Rebbe really loves him and cares about him or not, whether the Rebbe really believes in him and thinks highly of him. And the student will never want to learn from and never want to accept and be makabel from a mashpia that doesn't believe in him and doesn't think highly of him. The whole relationship is flawed. It's not that, and I want to explain, it's not that the Rebbe can't see that the student's done wrong things, but they're not poigim. They're not a flawed individual. They're a tzaddik, a wonderful person, full of light, full of potential, who has messed up. Ein tzaddik ba'aretz shlo yachta. There's no tzaddik that hasn't sinned, but there's still a tzaddik. It's called a tzaddik, or a tzaddikus. I could see you've done wrong. I want to lift you up from that thing you did wrong. But you're beautiful, and you're holy, and you're not flawed. And if we in life want to be inspiring to anyone else, we need that same thought process. And whether I'm actually going to be involved in chinuch or not is meaningless. Some of us in this, right here, had plans this summer to be involved in chinuch in a very high level, and maybe we will, maybe we won't. It doesn't matter. How many people are we going to be in contact with over this summer? Every person we become in contact with, every person we have a relationship with, every friend, every family member, we have the ability to inspire and to influence just by being ourselves. But only if we think highly of them, and only if we look for the good in them. And what an incredible opportunity that is to realize and to recognize that I'm a walking, living inspiration to others. And that should be my goal, and that's something so special in whatever I do at every moment. And that's how all my relationships should be with my friends as well. Not that I'm... that's going to be accepted in a beautiful way, because I'm not lowering. No friend wants to be looked at as the Kiev project, right? Obviously, they're not my Kiev project. I love and I think highly of them. I'm just being myself. Then, I think they're better than I am. But then you're, whoever you are, will inspire and have and rub off in a beautiful way. What a schus and what an opportunity. And what type of people each and every one of us can be. Right in the beginning of Pirkei Avos says, Asei Lecha Rav. Simple understanding means, have a Rebbe. And that's very important. Make for yourself a Rebbe. Have someone you could call for advice. Someone you could call for halachic shaila. Someone you could call when you need someone to talk to that cares about you. But maybe it also means, Asei Lecha Rav. Make yourself into a Rebbe. That every person should constantly be that type of inspiration and mashpia to others. And we all can be. So listen to this. You know why Moshe Rabbeinu, the Slonim Rebbe says, based on this, Baal Shem Tov, you know why Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't enter Eretz Yisrael? Moshe Rabbeinu was our leader. Moshe Rabbeinu cared about us like nobody else. Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm not going to go into every detail, but that was his godless of a, that's why his name was Moshe even for another time, out of all his beautiful names. But what happened at this point of his life, at the very end of his life? After Klal Yisrael complained that they didn't have water, they were upset. Okay. Klal Yisrael complained they didn't have water. And Klal Yisrael complained that they had to leave Mitzrayim. And he's told now to talk to the rock and bring forth water. But before he does what he does and he hits the rock, you know what he says? Vayomer lahem. He says to them, Shimu na hamorim. Listen to me, you rebels. Haminasela hazeh noitzi lechamayim. I'll bring you water from this rock. And then, Vayorem Moshe yada vayaches asela. He lifts up his hand and he hits the rock. The Slonim Rebbe, based on this Torah of the Baal Shem Tov, says, we always have learned it's the hitting of the rock that he's punished for. It wasn't the hitting of the rock. It was right before that. You know what brought him to hit the rock? You know what his downfall was? That he looked at his people, who he was supposed to be mashpia upon, who he was supposed to influence, who he was supposed to lead. He looked at them like rebels, hamoirim, and he said it to them. He lost his belief in them. He saw their pagima. It wasn't just they did wrong. Your essence are now, you're rebels. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you no longer can be the leader of these people. Because I need someone that believes in them always. I need someone that loves them always. I need someone that sees good in them always. And unfortunately, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't live up to that at this point. And that's the type of people we need to be. And we're supposed to... Why is that here? You think, God forbid, you think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that we should be looking down on Moshe Rabbeinu? You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants we should be looking down on Moshe Rabbeinu? That's why it's in the Torah. If she wants us to go in, or you think we'll continue? We'll see if it gets harder.
No, don't be embarrassed.
You think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to look down on Moshe Rabbeinu and just bring a chait? It's here so we learn from it. It's here so we learn what type of person to be, and what type of person to be to others, all the people that we come in contact with. That's the type of person I should be. You know, Rav Nachman Mibrezel, he has a beautiful piece in Torah Resh Pei Beis. Listen to these words. And later tonight, you'll go online and listen to Yosef Karduna sing these words. There's a beautiful song to these words. I think the song's called Da, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's on his album Siman and Bederech. So he says as follows. He says, Da, ki tzarich ledon es kol adam lekaf schus. That each and every one of us, we need to judge every person favorably. Vafilu mishu rasha gamor. Let's say you think someone's really wicked. Sarach l'chapes v'limsobo ezem ha'atov. You have to search and look for the little good. Shebo'osa ha'mat edo rasha. Because in that little good, in that individual, they're not a rasha. Meaning everybody has good within them. Look for only the good. And listen to this. V'alidei zeh shemotzi b'ma'atov. If you look for and find the good and judge them favorably, you'll literally raise them up for favorable judgment and will be able to do tshuva because they'll start to see the good within themselves. If you see the good in them, they'll start to see the good within themselves. What an avoda! Should we keep on going, or you want? What do you say? Is enough up there? Gonna stop this. All right, incredible. You know, last week we said we made a shachyano. I think we were the first women share to meet together for many, many months. This week we could say shachyano. I think we might be the first share in history that had a rain delay. So. But Baruch Hashem, we waited out, and it's a tremendous schus to be with Nashim Tzidkaniyus, who want to learn Torah, who were sitting through rain when it started drizzling to learn Torah, and waited till it stopped so we can continue to learn Torah. So we're saying how important it is to be non-judgmental, how important it is to look for the good in people, how important it is to only see the good in people. Of course, not being ignorant, recognizing when someone does something wrong, but that's not the person. That person did something wrong. The person is holy. The person is beautiful. And that's how we have to interact with every single person that we know. And we'll elevate them in such a beautiful way. They'll feel, as Rav Nachman, the Torah we just read from Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman Mibrezel was telling us, when they feel that someone is seeing the good within them, they'll want to attach to that good and be and live up to that and be that type of person. You know, I remember many years ago I started about 16 years ago. 16 years ago this summer. 16 years ago, I'm trying to remember. My son Shmuel that summer had his upsharing. Because I remember I took a job to do chinuch in Hillel day camp. So I'm remembering how old Shmuel was, as I know, 16 years ago. And at the time, the Rav of the camp was Rav Eloni Rusik. He was a Rebbe in YCQ during the year, and he was a Rav. Maybe he taught also in Hafter at the time in elementary school, I'm not sure. Very special individual. He actually had him. He was the Rebbe I had come to actually perform and to do Shmuel's upsharing with him. But anyways, so I learned something very special from him that summer. He was great with all the little kids in camp. They loved him. He was warm, caring. He called every single boy that he met, the first, Tzaddik. Tzaddik, how you doing? Tzaddik, how's everything? Tzaddik, how was lunch? Tzaddik, how'd you do in the basketball game? And to a girl, Tzaddikus. That's how he would refer to these 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds. And I'm not saying I do that always, but I definitely find myself doing it because of him, I'll tell you that much. And I think it's something very special. And he meant it. It only works if you really mean it. If it's not lip service. But if you really believe and you see someone else and they're a tzaddik, in your eyes they're a tzaddik, they're a tzaddikas. And what's incredible is, then that person wants to learn from you and grow from you. And they see how much you, how highly you think of them. But you know what else? They start to think that about themselves. And they believe it as well. They see them, even if some of them are, they might be doing things that are not living up to that title. But wait a minute, I'm that person. I want to be that title. That's who I really am. That's the type of person we need to be. That's a true manig, a true leader, a true mashpia. That's how the sun is mashpia on the moon. But if he sees the begima of the moon, it's never going to be successful. He sees the blemish, the flaw, it's never going to be successful. But I'll share with you something else. This is a very special secret, as of the most important sgulos that will enable Hashem as well to only look at us and only judge us with tremendous rachamim, with tremendous mercy, with tremendous bracha. Because in truth, we know that there's something called din and there's something called judgment, din, and rachamim, mercy. And we're beseeching and we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the Baal HaRachamim, to always be merciful upon us. And even though we don't live up to always who we're supposed to be, we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be forgiving. And we want Him to be loving, as He is. But to show us that, and to show us His Rachamim, His Chanun. How can we earn that? How can we ensure that we gain the Rachmanus of the Rabbeinu Shalom? And not live according to din, judgment, schar, and onish. Because that's a scary life. If we really were honest with ourselves, what we deserve. This is another Torah from the Baal Shem Tov. The Pasuk says, Hashem Tzilcha. Hashem Tzilcha Yad Yiminecha. You all know, right? What does Hashem Tzilcha mean? Hashem is your shadow. My tzel, my shadow. How does a shadow work? If I raise my hand, here, I see it, Mamashiri. I don't remember ever telling over the Torah and you could see the shadow. It's good. I see my hand over there. Lexi, right next to you over there. I don't know if you see it on the floor. Right? If I raise my hand, see, Mamish, my shadow does the same thing. My shadow raises my hand. If I jump, my shadow will jump. If I sit down, my shadow is going to sit down. The shadow copies the individual. Hashem Tzilcha means Hashem is our shadow. And Hashem will react to us and be mashpia upon us the way that we act. So if I'm making sure to only look for the good in others and think highly of others, and if I see things that are wrong, obviously, not, God forbid, completely dismiss, but recognize, okay, they're a tzaddik, a tzaddikas, a wonderful individual who did something wrong, which we have to help. But ultimately, that person's beautiful and wonderful. And if that's the way that I judge others, and I'm non-judgmental of others, and interact with others, Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem will interact with me in the same way. There's no greater way of wanting this rachamim, and we need this rachamim, especially as we enter in, as we've entered into the month of Tammuz, as we spoke about last week. We have to be like that, and we'll have all the rachamim of Hashem. It's actually an explicit gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Dav Yud Zayin Mabez. And the gemara there says, this is after the Chet HaEgel, of the worst sins of all of humanity. God who took us out of Egypt, 10 makos splitting of the sea, He's about to give us the Torah, and we spit in His face. We spit in His face and have a golden calf that we're dancing around. Can we imagine? Forget about all the perushim, just push up shot. Craziness. And Moshe goes in davening and davening. And what does Hashem say? I'll give you the answer of how you could gain rachamim, how you could gain mercy, how you could gain a kapara, atonement, slicha, mechila. He says, yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he puts on a talis, it says the Gemara, like a shliach sibur. And he says, Yasu lefonai keseder hazeh. You should do the following. And he goes and teaches Yud Gimim Midas HaRachamim. Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Racham, V'chanun. God is merciful and compassionate. It's this Gemara why during Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Esh Metshuva, time and time again, we're saying that tefillah, right? Slichos, all that. Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim. Because Hashem said that's the key to Rachamim, to mercy. But if you paid attention when I quoted the Gemara, Hashem didn't say, Davin this tefillah, say this tefillah, Daber, Omar, Yispalel. He says, Yasu Lefanai. I want you to do this tefillah. If you do it, you'll have mercy. What does it mean, do this tefillah? What does it mean to do a tefillah? Do we do Shemona Esrei? Do we do Shema? But what is this tefillah? Rachum, Chanun, Erech, Apayim. Be slow to anger. Be soft. Be compassionate. Be loving. Rav Chesed, have tremendous kindness. Shem Hashem, Rachum, Chanun, Erech, Apayim, Rav Chesed. Ve'emes, be truthful. These are all the midos that we're supposed to interact with each other. Hashem says, Yasu lefanei k'seder hazeh. If you do this, Hashem silcha, I'll be rachamim mechanan and rachapayim to you. If this is the way we treat each other, this is the way we look at each other. We mentioned last week, it's a month of Tammuz, so the character trait of Re'iyah, of seeing, rules over this month. It's all about how we look at others, how we care for others, how we uplift others. And that's ultimately how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at us. And as we enter into the summer and we're more interactive and more social and have Baruch Hashem, Hashem is slowly bringing this geula from this terrible machla, and we're more together. No longer is there as much, and slowly none at all, social distancing. Are we sanctifying our social togetherness? Are we ensuring, because again, we mentioned this a little bit last week, I deeply believe, and I'm not one to say why this happened, and not one to say Mashiach's coming, and we yearn for that every moment. But there's no doubt in my mind that a part of it, for whatever, I don't know the whole picture, but a part of it clearly was that we weren't treating each other properly. And we didn't deserve to be in the social environments that we were. So Hashem took that away from us and put us in solitude and said, I want you to be alone because you're not living up to Yasu Lefanei K'seder Hazeh. So we went through that. We had it. I hope we did the proper introspection. I hope we grew properly. Now we're being back together. So how am I going to treat each other? How am I going to look at each other? What am I going to look for in each other? And I'm going to be the proper mashpia who doesn't see any pegima in another individual. You know, recently was the yahrzeit of a big tzaddik, Rav David Trenk. I didn't know him personally. I know his brother personally. He was an incredible individual as well. I'm sure some of you have read some stories. He just came out with an article book. I haven't read it yet, but I've heard it's well worth reading and incredible. He was a tzaddik and a superstar in chinuch. My close friend Joey Newcomb came out with a song. Maybe some of you saw the music video as well. He was incredible. What I'm about to say doesn't take away from that. I want you to listen well, because Chassid Rav David Trenk, Halavaya should be 100th of who he was. But the whole book, I think the title is something to the extent, and Joey's song is about loving your students, how much he loved his students and cared for his students. I was earlier today with one of my closest friends, more like a brother. He was in from Cleveland, Dr. Shlomo Kaufman. He was my chavrusa for many, many years. I was talking to him, and we were talking about this for a moment, and I said to him, I'll tell you something. Rabbi David Trenk, Shli Zatzal, Rabbi David Trenk Zatzal was a tzaddik, was a goyin, was a goddaughter. And the stories are mamish mind-blowing, some of them, of what he would do for Talmidim. But the concept that a Rebbe should love his Talmidim, that sounds like a Chiddush, is very, very sad to me. It's very, very sad to me that we have to like talk about that and that we're astounded by that. How could any Rebbe not? Why is somebody a Rebbe if they're not showing tremendous love to every one of their Talmidim and Talmidot? Like, what are you doing? Well, you think a Rebbe is to give over Torah? First, you have to love every student, care for every student, do anything in the world for every student. Then you'll also give them Torah. Because, by the way, that's the only way they'll actually listen to any of the Torah also. That's the sun and the moon. That's where Moshe Rabbeinu messed up and no longer was going to be a Moshe Rabbeinu in our lives. It's sad to me that that's a chiddush. And it shouldn't be a chiddush in our lives as well, whether we're professionally in chinuch or not. In the way that we interact with every friend, with every brother, with every sister, with our parents, with every individual that we come into contact with. It's with that ahava, that love, that giving of ourselves towards others. That's who all of us need to be. And that's when the Rabbeinu Shalom, Yasul Lefanei Kiseder Hazeh, I'll give you all the rachamim as well in the world. I'll overlook it all also. And I heard from my Rebbe Rav David Spiegel, Astrav Kal Shina Rebbe, a few years ago, Parshas Paraduma. He says, by the Paraduma, one of the parts of it that is such a chok, such a law that we don't understand, I mentioned it before, is that the person doing the sprinkling becomes Tameh, and the one who was Tameh becomes Tahar. One thing we can learn from this is that in our interaction with others, we have to be willing to even become tame to help another person. We have to be willing to even lower ourselves a little bit. Go somewhere I might not want to be going. Do something I might not want to be doing. Get a little dirty to lift somebody else up. To be mavatil myself. To nullify myself. To care for another person. There's nobody in the world that I read about that exemplified that more than some of them I've spoken about before, and I probably shared this story before, but I can't stop thinking about it, giving over this Torah. Rav Shlomo Karlbach, what he did for others, how he cared for others, how he completely nullified himself for others. I've mentioned it before, I think it's a must read to get your hands on a book, Holy Brother, and read through it, because each story is a gem in everything that we're talking about tonight. All about his life. There's one particular story I think about, I think, every day of my life. Shlomo Karlbach, he was also a tremendous Talmid Chacham. He had smicha from Rav Aaron Kotler in Lakewood. Rav Aaron called Rav Moshe Feinstein and said, I have a Talmud in my yeshiva who's going to be the next Gadol Hadar. He's talking about Shlomo Karlbach. Shlomo Karlbach, after the Holocaust and 6 million Jews being murdered, and then seeing all the assimilation and so many Jews in America walking away from Yiddishkeit, he felt he had to give over his life to Kiruv. He was a songwriter, but that's not what his life was. His life was Kiruv. He was Mekarev thousands and thousands of Jews. Thousands and thousands of Jews. His concerts weren't music. They were teachings. They were Torahs. They were songs. They were... So he used to give a shiur once a week in the Diamond District on 47th Street in the city to all the top diamond dealers. And he gave this shiur every week. And one week, one of the diamond dealers, at the end of the shiur, he says to Rav Shlomo Karlbach, he says, Rav Shlomo, you have so much incredible Torah, and your songs are awesome, but you know, everybody knows you're constantly hanging out with all these homeless people and going to jails to meet with people. Like, Rav Shlomo, it didn't matter if you're, you know, worth $100 million in an Armani suit supporting every yeshiva in the world, or you're a homeless person, he'd give you the same kavod. Tremendous kavod, both. And care about you and with no limits. He died, he was the biggest star in Jewish music, whatever that meant then. He died penniless. They had to raise money for his levaya, because every penny he earned, he just gave away to people who he said needed it more than he. Every penny. He died penniless. Not a penny to his name. So they asked him, I don't understand, why do you spend so much time with all these low, in their minds, in their eyes, lowly individuals. And he said, you're a diamond dealer. If I showed you $1 million diamond, would you know its value and know its worth and know how precious it was? He says, of course, that's my world. That's what I do. He says, what about if it's right out of the mine? And when the diamond's right out of the mine, Shatayva, you all have these zeichet, have a diamond on your finger one day. Some of you have already. Baruch Hashem, it doesn't look like that. It's not sparkling. In the mine, it's full of dirt and needs to be carved still, needs to be shaped still, needs to be until it brings out its beauty. He says, what about when it's just mined? It's right out of the cave. So this tremendous diamond dealer, who's Mamish, top diamond dealer, one of the top in the world, he says, this is my business. This is, I could see past all the schmutz and all the dirt. I see the diamonds within. I'll know right away it's $1 million diamond. It just needs to be cleaned a little bit, needs to be carved a little bit. I know that. I see beyond the dirt. Shlomo looked at him and Shlomo said, I'm also a diamond dealer. You see, I deal in the diamonds called neshamas. And the neshama is the biggest diamond in the world. And every single person has one. And that neshama is chelek elokami mamamish. It's a part and parcel of God. And yeah, it's true. Some people, they do have some schmutz on their neshama. And they do have some dirt that needs to be cleaned, that needs to be carved, that needs to be... But I see the diamond in the rough. I see the beauty within. So of course I spend time and give kavod and respect. And hopefully it helps clean them a little bit. So the world can see this beautiful diamond. So as we enter into the summer and we're, Baruch Hashem, more together again. Of course we have to remember Zois Chukas HaTorah. We have to remember our devotion to Hashem. So whether we understand, we don't understand, I'm with you, Hashem, always. That's in our Bein Olam Makom. But in our Bein Olam Chavero, as we enter back into a time when we're together again, Baruch Hashem, let's only look for the good in people. Let's only look beyond the dirt. See that neshama, that sparkling diamond within. And realize then we could be mashbiyah on others. Then we could, they're going to accept, they're going to feel that love, and they're going to think higher of themselves and live up to that. And Hashem Silcha, Hashem will be our shadow. And Hashem will treat us in that way also. And Hashem will bring us rachamim, and bring us simcha, and bring us bracha. Until we're zoicha, that Hashem will bring us the ultimate gula. With not just a small gula from this corona, but we want much more than this. We want the ultimate gula where there's no more machlas. And there's no more lacking of shalom that exists. There's a time when we could be with Hashem always and see the diamonds within each and every individual shining bright with the Gula Shleima, with Mashiach Zakenu, b'mehera b'yameinu.